Today, I'll provide an update on COVID-19 in Frederick County. Certainly, the coronavirus continues to impact our community. As of this morning, Frederick County had confirmed almost 4,000 cases of COVID in our community. And since the last briefing that we had about 2 weeks ago, we've seen over 268 new cases. And we've had two more deaths, bringing the total number of fatalities since mid-March to 122. Of course, these fatalities are very sad. They're not just statistics. They're our parents, our grandparents, and our neighbors. On Saturday of this past weekend, we recorded 45 new cases of COVID-19 in a single day. That is the largest one-day increase we have seen in the past 30 days. Looking at the data, it's very clear that young people are not immune from the virus. Since the end of August, when school started, even though that was virtual, the number of cases of people under the age of 30 has risen dramatically. In fact, 65% of new cases in that first week were from people under the age of 30. I realize that it's very difficult, particularly for our young people, to not be around their friends and to limit their social activities. But I really want to encourage and stress that we must continue to distance ourselves from people we don't live with in our household. And I would ask parents and to help keep you and your children a safe distance from others by practicing social distancing and the wearing of face coverings. We must all do our part by continuing to wear our face masks when we're out in public and when we're standing 6 feet apart from other people. Not long ago, after school resumed, the governor announced that the state would move into phase three, with the openings of movie theaters and event venues at 50% of capacity and with limitations. Phase three took effect on the evening of September 4th, which was a Friday. At that time, I shared that I would consider rolling back some of the openings if Frederick County's health metrics got worse. Governor Hogan gave local jurisdictions the authority to move forward more slowly if necessary. So I specified again when I made the phase three announcement that if the 7-day rolling average of new cases per 100,000 population exceeded 10 for more than 3 days, that more restrictions could be put in place or we could roll back some of the openings. The day after the phase three announcement, Frederick County was at 6 new cases per 100,000 population on a 7-day rolling average, which was a pretty reasonable place to be. The Maryland Department of Health says that a rate of 5 or fewer cases, new cases per 100,000 on the 7-day rolling average must be met before schools could expand to in-person instruction. So there were two metrics for the opening of schools to in-person instruction. One was to be less than the 5% positivity rate, which we have been for a long time, and the other was this new case figure per 100,000 population. So as of this morning, the rate of new cases in Frederick County is approaching 10. It is 9.85 per 100,000 population over a 7-day rolling average. So that is a significant increase from where we were just a couple weeks ago. And you can see that the chart really shows that significant increase. Frederick County is now faring worse, in fact, than some of our larger county neighbors, including Howard County and Montgomery County, on the rate of new cases. You can see that Howard is at 7.41 and Montgomery is at 9.12. So this is a change for us because we have consistently tracked better than our larger population neighbors. So again, you can follow these statistics on our COVID dashboard, which you can find at frederickcountymd.gov/COVID stats. And you can check out and compare our relationship to other counties across the state at coronavirus.maryland.gov. So the growth in new cases and the rapid growth in new cases is of concern. We certainly have a mix in our metrics. We've had great news with hospitalization rates, and we have not seen an increase. In fact, this weekend, for the first time, yesterday, the number of patients in our hospital actually went to zero. Now, that's great news. We don't expect it to stay that way, even though we'd love it to stay that way. but particularly with the increase in new cases, which may translate into increased hospitalizations in future weeks. If you look at what happens across the country, particularly with increases in cases among young people, it transitions over time to those young people spreading those cases to people who are a bit older than themselves. And then it translates into hospitalizations. So it takes a few weeks, but that is the trend that has been observed elsewhere. Now, also of concern is yesterday, our EMS crews transported 3 patients with confirmed cases of COVID and 7 suspected cases. That also is a big increase. We've only been seeing 1 or 2 cases a week in recent times being transported to the hospital that have been confirmed for COVID. The last time we had 3 confirmed cases that we transported was back in July, actually on July 25th. So we've not yet seen the effects of all of the events and gatherings that took place over the Labor Day weekend. We expect to see a bump in new cases from those activities, just as we saw 3 or 4 weeks after the July 4th holiday. We saw that the last week of July into the first week of August. We certainly know that large gatherings at restaurants and bars and other types of large events hold the greatest risk for spreading of the virus. So for all of these reasons, and after consulting with our public health officer, Dr. Brookmeyer, I have decided to take a pause with reopenings so that we can continue to track our numbers, see where what the outcome is from the Labor Day weekend, and to make sure that we don't go above that data metric of 10. So I am delaying the expansion of capacity limitations for indoor dining, bars, social clubs, nightclubs, wedding venues, and other food service establishments. So it's important to recognize that food service establishments, when they say indoor dining, that it applies to a whole host of other different kinds of venues as well. So Frederick County food establishments will continue to be at the 50% capacity that they've been in for a few months since Phase 2. Now, it makes sense to take a pause on the expansion of openings until our case numbers stabilize and hopefully decline. In the interim, I will continue to consult with public health officials, our municipal leaders, and the restaurant industry itself to make a thoughtful and data-based decision about the weeks ahead. Now, I recognize that tomorrow is the first day of fall. We've seen some cooler weather, and I know that fewer diners are going to want to sit outdoors to dine. So that is why a thoughtful and considered conversation about indoor dining is required, as well as a discussion about whether capacity limitations and other requirements should be different for different types of food service establishments. There is some mathematical reality to the fact that even at a higher percentage capacity, for many facilities, because there's still a requirement to keep tables 6 feet apart and to limit the number of occupants at a table, that 75% is probably not achievable for most indoor dining facilities. But, and again, the change applies to other types of venues. So I appreciate that the hospitality industry as a whole has been hard hit by COVID. And we have already been looking internally at ways to support our restaurant industry. Our county's Office of Economic Development is currently working on a grant program to provide for outdoor heaters and for the fuel for those heaters, which would allow restaurants to extend outdoor dining options a bit longer into the cooler weather. So we'll be announcing the details of that soon. So, this was part of our plan already. So now, while many people are following all the directives and the governor's executive orders to wear face coverings and to practice social distancing, it is also clear that some people have become lax. Now, I certainly appreciate that people become weary of COVID and all of its restrictions. And I can say I'm frustrated as everyone else. I would really like to hug my parents who are in their 90s, and I haven't done that, because I value and prioritize their health and welfare. Now, I'm concerned that the behavior of some in our community is leading to this spread and this increase in new cases. I drive around the county, and I observe that not everyone is doing their part. So it's really up to each of us, and I know all of our businesses are really trying to enforce all of the rules and comply, but it's up to each of us and every one of us to wear our face masks and to practice social distancing so that we can keep our businesses and our economy open. And it really is a small inconvenience, and it really benefits other people's people, protects their health, and it supports our economy. So I want to do a couple reminders, which Dr. Brookmeyer has asked me to do. Remember that masks are required by the governor's executive order for people in fitness centers, gyms, dance studios, and martial arts centers. It's also true for barbershops, beauty salons, and all other personal services. Face coverings are also required at farm auctions. And it's up to the business to ensure that their employees and the general public abide by the directives to wear masks and to maintain physical distancing. And they should do their part to try to organize the flow of attendees to avoid having people become crowded together. So once again, I urge all Frederick County residents to faithfully wear their face coverings when outside their homes to keep them and everyone else in our community as safe as, and healthy as possible. Now, most days, I go out and take a walk in my neighborhood. I carry a mask with me, so if I can't avoid someone, I can pop it on. And it's really easy, and it's really an easy step to take in order to keep our friends and family healthy. Until we have a COVID vaccine that is safe and available for everyone who wants it, all of us can remain cautious and do our part to avoid the spread. Now, speaking of vaccines, now is the time to schedule your flu shot. Flu shots are widely available, and now through October and even into early November is a great time for you to go out and get your seasonal flu shot. Getting a flu vaccine this year is more important than ever so that we can keep our healthcare system from being stretched with a combination of the flu and COVID. And again, flu vaccines are recommended for most people age 6 months or older. So stay safe, stay healthy, mask up, Frederick. Thank you for joining me for today's public information briefing. Remember, we're just taking a pause. The conversation will continue. I'll provide another update soon. And in the meantime, do your part and continue to track our numbers on our dashboard, which you can find at frederickcountymd.gov/COVIDstats. So with that, thank you so much for joining us today, and we will move forward to make sure that we have a great community, protect health, and keep our economy going. We're adjourned.